because of RCIA, or OCIA, excuse me, the 9 o'clock Mass, you guys will all be in shape by the time we get to Palm Sunday and listen to the whole of the Passion, because the other people don't have whole Gospels that they listen to on these weekends. So this morning, my attention is a bit divided, so I would like to first talk about the second scrutiny that our elect who are seeking baptism will go through, which reflects the Gospel, and I'll only do that for a few minutes, because as the opening announcement said, we are kicking off our campaign for One Family Fully Alive in Christ, and there are several things that I need to mention about that. The Gospel of John today is so stark. If you pay attention, you can see clearly exactly what's happening. And it's all prefaced by the beginning of the apostles asking the Lord, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his father?" Because remember, in the Jewish understanding of things, bad things happen to bad people. And so the first thing the Lord does is say it was neither him nor his parents. And then what you see, after the man is given his sight, the people who think they can see cannot see, and the one who could not see not only can see physically, but he can see the truth. And I think of this is so appropriate, so for so many reasons, for those who are about to be baptized and for those who will make their first confessions during Holy Week. Because how often do we cradle Catholics say, you know, converts make the best Catholics, but they shouldn't. I mean, you should be good Catholics, but so should we. We should not be like the Pharisees and willfully not see what God teaches. I've been able in the last couple of weeks to go through all of the commandments with our OCIA class, and it's eye-opening, even for the teacher who's done it for 24 years. We have to be real careful that we don't shut our eyes to the truth, because the man born blind, after he could see, he immediately testified for Jesus, who he didn't really know. All he knew was his name. And then he has to teach the teachers, who should have known better. And then at the very end, he's sitting with Jesus, and Jesus reveals who he is. And his response is so beautiful. "I do believe," and he worshiped him. There's a real danger of being what St. Thomas called willfully ignorant. Not invincibly ignorant, where you didn't know and you couldn't know better, and not just visibly ignorant, where you should have known but you didn't, but willfully ignorant. I will not see the truth. Because that's what played out in the Gospel. And as we approach the second scrutiny today on the way to baptism for our elect, in a certain way, what we're praying for them, and in a different way for ourselves, is that the scales fall from our eyes so we see the truth about who Christ is and who we are. As the reading was yesterday or Friday, I can't remember, a sinner in need of God's mercy. The man born blind could see that. The Pharisees and the chief priests could not. And so we want to pray that we imitate the man born blind, who ultimately was the one who could see. Again, as I mentioned as it was mentioned in the opening announcements, today is the kickoff of the third phase of the diocesan campaign, One Family Fully Alive in Christ. And the first thing that I'd like to point out about that is the name is the goal. I mean, obviously it's a capital campaign, and there's a fundraising is a big part of that, but the name is the goal. The money is not the goal, although it's part. One Family Fully Alive in Christ. And not only is it the goal, but that's the bishop's vision for our diocese. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that every father wants for his own personal family, and that our spiritual father in this diocese wants for every one of his spiritual children. He wants us to grow closer as a parish, and he wants our parishes to grow closer as a diocese. And you probably are aware of these things, but just to remind you, the way that this, the priorities of this goal is first the cathedral. Now, for those of you old enough to remember, it wasn't that long ago that we were doing something similar for the cathedral, but when you have a 125-year-old building or 112-year-old building, things change fastly, quickly. And so the cathedral domes, which they thought were okay 15 years ago, aren't as okay as they thought now. So the domes and the windows are a big part of keeping that building the treasure that it is. And while it's a treasure in and of itself, all alone, it also holds Venerable Father Capon in it. And so, in a certain, at least in the way I look at things, that makes it even more important that it be the beautiful destination of spiritual pilgrimage that it is. And then, a family camp. Notice it doesn't say youth camp. When they first told us about this, I always heard totus tuus. That's all I heard. And I thought, well, that's only 8 weeks long. What are we going to do the rest of the year? But they didn't ever say it was going to be a youth camp. They always kept saying family camp. Because it's not just going to be a totus tuus camp. And so there'll be planning of how that'll be something that can really affect our families, particularly obviously families with younger children, in ways to build up the family. Because you cannot have one family fully alive in Christ at the diocesan level if you don't have it at the parish level, and if you don't have it at the domestic level, the family of the home church, if you will. And then there's also the teacher salaries. Now, obviously, if this goal is met, it does not mean that we'll all of a sudden be able to pay our teachers thousands of more dollars. But it is the beginning of something that can help us to pay a just salary. Sometimes people say, what does the public school do? And we should try to imitate that or be a certain amount. And I say, no, we have to pay a just salary. That's what Catholic teaching is. And we do a decent job here at Blessed Sacrament, but we have a ways to go. And so the teacher salary element could be very important for us particularly. And then there's the poor. You cannot have a fundraising element that does not take into account the poor. I like to quote my good friend Father Dan Spexarth, who said, nobody gets to heaven alone. There has to be some poor person that's there to testify on your behalf. And so it's an important part of this campaign that we also have something to take care of the poor. And then finally, there's something different, new to us in the Diocese of Wichita, but it wasn't new to the bishop, and it's called the parish share. So we're very used to a stewardship understanding of we tithe, and that you tithe to the parish tithes to the diocese. But in this particular instance, for the campaign, everything that you give, if it's an unrestricted gift, 20% of it comes back to the parish. And so the bishop has asked every parish to have something. He doesn't really want it to go to a normal operating cost, but have something that helps improve your parish. And so I'll talk about what that is for us in just a moment. For our parish, what the diocese is asking us to do, it's called an aspirational goal. Now, I say that, I preface it with that, because in other dioceses, I know this from my friends around the nation, when a fundraising campaign starts, immediately there's no more fundraising for any parish, and they give the parish not a goal, but an amount that they will pay. So whatever that amount is, if the parish gives, ours happens to be $3.1 million, and if our parish gave $2 million, if we did not live in the Diocese of Wichita, our parish would somehow have to pay the other $1.1 million. But that's not the way they structured this particular campaign. It's an aspirational goal so that we can play our part in helping to further the bishop's vision for the diocese. And so $3.1 million is a lot of money. And for the way they figured that out was somewhat simple. They looked at what our budget is for a year, and they looked at it actually for 3 years, and then that was what we're responsible for the campaign. And so again, it's actually very fair in a certain way, because the Steyer Group, who is the people who help us in all of this, say that normally dioceses ask 1.5 to 2.5 times what your normal budget is as the goal. But the bishop didn't like that, and so we stick to what our budget is for 1 year is what our ask is from the diocese, from the parish. And so with that $3.1 million, that would bring back a little over $600,000 in the parish share part to our parish. And so there are two areas that we're going to do. Everything has to do with, in a certain sense, upkeep. The first is an updating of Bishop's Hall. If you've ever been to a meeting down there, or if you've ever used the microphone down there, we're using 30-year-old equipment, and the sound is, at best, poor. That's not the only thing that will be updated. It's been 30-some years since it's been done. So we'll update Bishop's Hall so that, as I told the architect? Well, one of those people, the people who make the drawings, I said, it needs to be nobly simple. So we don't have to have something fancy, and we don't have to have a dirt floor, but we need it to be nobly simple, that it can help us to do what goes on down there. Meetings, receptions, gatherings, something that's conducive to all of those things, and it will be. And then the other part for us are various updating of particularly roofs. You know, our youngest building in this campus is 25 years, and our oldest building is 97 years. And so we have roofs that need to be updated and kept replaced. We have air conditioning systems that need to be updated and replaced as they conk out, as they're willing to do at the most inopportune times. And so that's what we're going to use our parish share for, is the upkeep of Bishop's Hall and of the parish plant. And we'll have some drawings for Bishop's Hall in the coming weeks. Now, I'm guessing that most of you got your packet. If you didn't, it's probably coming tomorrow. And so this might be too late because you already opened it. But remember last week I said, be careful, you're going to have sticker shock. Because the ask of each person, of the priests as well, was certainly... I guess you might say aggressive. But one of the things that the Steyer Group has stressed with us that I thought was beautiful about this is that this is an invitation, it's not an expectation. Because at the end of the day, when they came up with those numbers, and it was kind of varied, they had a few different ways they did it because for whatever reason, they're experts and I'm not. But they don't know the situation in your family. But you do. And so, as I mentioned in the bulletin, if your first response was similar to mine, it was utter shock. But that shouldn't be your last response. When you make a faith response on what was asked, the faith response does not mean that you all of a sudden say, okay, exactly what they asked for is what I'm giving. But the faith response is, you go to the Lord and you ask Him, knowing what your situation is, knowing what the next couple of years are looking like to the best of your knowledge, and then you say in your heart, what can we do? Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So if you put yourself beyond where you can, whatever you're giving could be cheerful, then that's too far. Because you want to be able to give cheerfully. And so I ask you to take these things to prayer as you decide what you can do. Now, one of the things that we're going to do that's a little different than the rest of the parishes, at least that I'm aware of, maybe some of them have done this, is we're going to contact the whole parish. Now, what you have to know about that is, first of all, the only person who knows how much you've been asked for is you. So they will not be, our volunteers who will be calling, making calls to you, they will not be asking you how much you want to pledge, because that will be between you and God and the diocese when you send in the pledge card. But they'll be calling to see, first, to make sure you got your packet. Second, to see if you have any questions. And third, do you have something that you need our parish to be praying for? Because we can't build up one family fully alive in Christ if we're only focused on making sure we raise the money that they're asking us to raise. It has to be something that's prayerful. And so it's prayerful for you to think about and pray about what's been asked of you. And then it's prayerful for us to take what you need us to pray for, not just me and Father Luke, but we have a chapel in there with 24/7, 362 days a year. And we can put the prayers of our people in front of the Eucharistic Lord. And that's so important. That's how we build up one family fully alive in Christ. And so we don't need to be daunted by what's before us. We need to remember that we're being asked to play our own part in building up our parish and our diocese. And I don't think you need me to tell you this, but I'm going to. Blessed Sacrament has always been a key part of that in this diocese for almost 100 years. The bishop, forever, has been able to rely on our parish as someone who supports not only what's going on in Blessed Sacrament, but supports the bishop's vision for the diocese. And I'm sure, although I don't know from history all the way back to 97 years ago, but I'm sure in a particular way, when Bishop Gerber became the bishop, you know, we're the only parish in the diocese that had a tie of the pastor to the bishop, because Bishop Gerber was our pastor. And so I'm sure that when that happened, that brought us even that much closer to supporting the bishop's vision. And so I want you to take away from this the importance of what the title is named, because that's the goal. One family fully alive in Christ. It's the best campaign title I've seen, that I've heard of in our diocese ever. It's not New Horizons, that wasn't bad. It's not the Together Vision. But because it's so clear about what we're trying to do, we're trying to be united in Christ. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and we trust in the bishop's vision and his ability to lead us, and we accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit and his promptings, then we can realize that vision, one family fully alive in Christ. And so before I finish, there are prayer cards at the ends of the pews that have the prayer. I think they came in your packets. I do ask you to pray this prayer every day, and we're going to pray it right now. Please stand. Father, we know that all we have and are comes from you, and that you have called us to be faithful stewards of your abundant blessings. Send your Holy Spirit to inspire in us a greater awareness of these blessings and a more profound desire to share them in love of God and neighbor. May your blessing come down upon us as we undertake our diocesan campaign, so that by your divine assistance, we will truly become one family, fully alive in Christ, and strengthen the mission of the Diocese of Wichita, now and for years to come. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please remain.